So that is an altar. That's an altar. That's how they were back then. This today is going to be an altar service. So you see, they made it out of stone, just random stones and rocks. And the intent of it was ultimately to sacrifice, right? So they'd walk a sheep up it or a lamb, right? That's why it had a kind of a walkway. And then they would make a sacrifice on top. And there are all sorts of examples in Scripture about altars. Now, the reason why I wanted to bring it up today is we're at the beginning of the new year. And at the beginning of the new year, many people make New Year resolutions about building new things and doing new things and changing their habits and creating new habits and being a better, generally, person. And I understand being a better person. I understand trying to change your life for the better. That's what Christ's word and his gospel is all about. So I get that. But we talked about last week about building on good, solid foundations. You build new on old foundations, cracked foundations, and it's going to sag. Leaning Tower of Pisa, for example. The Bible actually says that if you put new wine in old wineskins, you ruin them both. You have to put new wine in new wineskins. That's the process of just chemistry and air and drying. And if you put new wine in old wineskins, the wineskin will burst. So you have to put old wine in old wineskins, and you have to put new wine in new wineskins. And so it's talking about building a foundation that is solid, that is new, that is strong. And so if you're making resolutions today, I encourage you to think about your foundation you're building on. And that's what was last week's service. That's what the whole service was about the foundation evaluation, looking at your foundation and seeing if there were cracks in the foundation that need to be repaired. And so today, I want to talk about what we can do with the cracks. See, when the foundations crack, there's rocks and there's stone involved. And it's usually a burden. It's very hard to fix a rock foundation that is cracked after it's already been built on. It's very difficult. It's a very expensive job. And so we talked about that last week. This week, I want to talk about altars because these altars are built out of rock. And I want to talk to you about the rocks they're built out of. I want to talk to you about why they're important. Are you with me, church? So if I go into Genesis. This is the story I want to read today. You can open your Bible pretty much to any chapter in the Old Testament and find stories about altars. Altars are really, really important. I want to read this story about Jacob. You see, Jacob was an interesting fella. He was second in his birth order, yet he took his birthright from his older brother on behest of his mother to trick his older brother into getting the birthright. That's generally not a good idea, but he did that, and then his older brother didn't like him. His older brother wanted to basically kill him for this, and so he had to flee, and he began to figure out, well, where am I going to go? I'm going to go to a family member. A number of crazy, interesting things happened with Jacob, and not all good, and he didn't do all good things. And so as he's fleeing because of his consequences, because of his actions, he needed to leave, and when he left to go to this new land, away from his family, away from his mother, his father, his brother, basically shunned out, escaping for his life, he went and he had this dream. And I've preached this before about Jacob's ladder. But what I want to read is in verse 16. If you have Genesis 28, you can read with me. Genesis 28, verse 16. It says, "Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it.'" Do you know the Lord is here today? And some of you are not even aware of it. Do you know where the Lord inhabits? He inhabits, yeah, our praises, of course, yeah. And he comes into each and every one of you. You are his temple. The Holy Spirit is in you, and you may not even be aware of it. Verse 17. "But he was also afraid, as are many of you when I said that." What, God's inside me? Now he knows what I said. Now he knows what I did. He knows what I'm thinking. "What an awesome place is this. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven." That's where you sit today, in the house of God. You sit in the very gateway to heaven, where God sits on the throne and he looks down at you. That's where you sit today, this moment. Verse 18. The next morning, Jacob got up very early. He took the stone he had rested his head against, and he sat it upright as a memorial pillar, an altar. Then he poured olive oil over it. He named that place Bethel, which means house of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you allow this word to seep into our soil with good seed. I pray, Lord God, that you would nurture it, you would feed it, you would grow it. It would take root, and Father God, we would bear your fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to speed up here. So there are altars all throughout Scripture. In this verse, I want to point out this particular highlight, Genesis 28, verse 18. It says, early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he placed under his head and set it up on a pillar. He set it up on a pillar. What is interesting about this to anyone? Well, I don't know. Take a look. Think about it. Think about it. Do you see it yet? Do you see it? This is what I see. First of all, he's sleeping on a stone. The King James calls it his pillow. For many of you who have pillows, I'm sure you've spent, you know, $20, $30, $40, some of you. You can spend $100 on a pillow so that it's comfortable, so that you can get good night's sleep. You know, you have a neck pillow, body pillow, side sleeper, back sleeper, hard pillow, soft pillow. But none of you, I am certain, have a rock. And neither did Jacob. Even back then, it wasn't common to use a rock for a pillow. He took this rock, the stone he had placed under his head, and he set it up as a pillar. He set it up as an altar. You see, rocks are great candidates for building altars. All of the altars in the Old Testament. The altars that Moses built. The Ten Commandments written on rock. The altars that Joshua, Chris isn't here right now, but I would preach on Joshua, that Joshua built were used by rocks. Solomon, rocks. All the altars were made from rocks. Where do these rocks come from? Where do rocks come from? This particular rock he was hanging out with, he was cuddling. He was using to sleep on at night. He was getting close to this rock. But then something happened, you see? He had a vision. He began to see what God was doing. He realized that God had bigger plans for him. He realized that God was going to do something bigger in his life than what he had just done, what he had just thought, what he was already experiencing. And he began to take that rock that was in his life, and he said, no more will I cuddle with it. No more will I sleep with it. No more will I carry it with me. But I will use it as an altar. And he built an altar, much like this one. He used a few more rocks, probably, and he built an altar. Altars were used back then for all sorts of reasons. Altars were used as a memorial to remember what God was doing. It was used as a place of worship to go and worship God and to remember who he was and what he had done in that moment. It's used as a place of personal encounter. All of the instances of Jehovah that I mentioned where God revealed his name to us were times where God revealed himself personally to us, and they created an altar to remember that as they encountered God in that moment. Are you with me, church? But probably the most salient, the most compelling requirement, need for an altar, the reason why we talk so much about it, is for atonement. That's a really big word. I don't like it, but I have to say it because that's the truth. The word that we use in church today, we use a different word. We use the word forgiveness. Not so much forgiving one another. There was a different altar for that. But a rock altar was for forgiveness of our own personal sin. Do you know each and every one of you are sinners? And you need to be washed in a blood. That's what God requires. And so you need an altar like the one I showed you before so you could sacrifice a blood offering. And that was what the altars were for, to sacrifice, to sacrifice, to sacrifice for atonement of your sin. Are you with me, church? And so, if it's important that we atone for our sin, if it's important that we need to build altars, then I began to wonder where they come from. And they come from rocks, much like this. And when I saw this verse, it made me think about, what are we cuddling with today? And it came to me this way. I call this sermon, lay it down or carry it around. Say it with me. Lay it down or carry it around. Lay it down or carry it around. I want you to think about that right now, because that's what this message is about. I believe the Holy Bible teaches me that Jesus is there for us to surrender our all. He became the sacrificial lamb. He became the lamb that was without sin or blemish, that was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary, the greatest of all altars, to bring down the greatest wall, the wall of the tabernacle, and the veil was broken and the rocks came crumbling down as a symbol of the rocks for the altar being sacrificed, where Jesus, the Lamb of God, was being sacrificed. He did all of that so that we can surrender all to him, as we just sang. But that's only an opportunity. He doesn't take it all from us unless we give it to him. Do you see, church? We have to surrender. It's not enough to just think it, as I talked about last week. We have to do it. We have to go down and evaluate our spiritual foundation, see the cracks in it, realize we have to repair it. And as we repair it, there's going to be all sorts of rubble that comes out of that. And I believe that many of us, in the rubble of our spiritual foundations and our personal foundations breaking, that rubble, we begin to pick up and we begin to carry it around. We begin to cuddle it. We begin to sleep with it. We begin to be burdened by it. That's what I believe. And I believe that we need to decide today, are we going to lay it down or carry it around? I believe that our lives are going through volcanic reactions at times and rocks going everywhere. I believe there are seismic shifts in our lives, earthquakes, and rocks are going everywhere. I believe the grind of our life is making rocks go everywhere around our life. And then yet we pick them up and we carry them around. You need some examples. I want to make this very focused for you. Lance is going to help me. Are you going to help me, Lance? Okay. I have some rocks here. I believe that there's three or four categories of rocks that you guys are carrying around. And you guys, I mean we, I mean us, human race. I mean myself. So let's go through some easy ones. Lance, come help me here. So here's some rocks we have here. I believe that the grind of your life around your job, give me a rock here. You know, how many of us worry about our jobs and say, oh, is this job good enough? Am I going to make enough money? Am I going to keep this job? Do I like the duties I have to do on this job? Can I have a better job? I want a different job. Lord, you care about my soul, but not my job. I'll work on my job myself. I'll do that. What about the stuff that job gives you? You know, your possessions. Oh, those are important. I need possessions, and you know, I need a house. I need a car. I need a certain kind of car. I need a certain kind of house. I need a certain this or a certain that in my house or in my life. And if I don't have that, I'm not happy. And I've learned that when I have these things, I am much more happy. And so I'm going to carry that rock around. And that one may be quite heavy because I need two of that. So I'll have two of those rocks. Right. Or what about just the concept of money itself? Right? Maybe it's you're worried about money all the time. Am I going to have enough money to pay the bills? Let's see, Lance, that's bills. Maybe give me some more money. Am I spending too much? Right? Maybe I'm just spending too much and I don't know it. Or maybe give me a credit card. I'm going to open up another credit card. Yeah, that'll help me. Or a loan. Yeah, an equity loan. Yeah, that'll be great. Or maybe I'll borrow money from a friend. You see my point? And then you carry these around. Oh, well, yeah, I love God, but, you know, money, job, possessions, this is a big deal, so, you know, I got to focus a lot on that. And you notice what happens? Your back starts to bend over. You get heavy, and it's burdened. You see my point? This is some rocks you carry around. You sleep with them. You cuddle them. And I'm asking you today, are you willing to carry them around forever? Or are you going to lay them down? And if you're going to lay them down, you ask me, how should I lay them down? How shall I lay them down? Well, I would say you should, much like our man Jacob did, you should lay them down as an altar. And you should say, here's money, Lord. Take it from me. Here's my job, Lord, take it from me. Here's my credit cards, take it from me. Here's my budget, help me with it, Lord, and begin to build an altar unto him. Are you with me, church? Okay, we're gonna go a little faster here, Lance. This one's gonna be a little harder. So, you know, that's the old school of way of carrying things around. Here's a new school way of carrying things around. Right? Because you know, we as modern day Americans, we love stuff. So we find ways to carry a lot more stuff. There was a commercial about this recently about a lady who wanted to buy more stuff, and so she got a bigger bed with drawers in it so she could put more stuff in her drawers under her bed. And then she's like, now I gotta buy more stuff. So we find ways of carrying more stuff. And so this one's particularly sensitive, right? Because this is one I think many people can understand. You see, what happens here now is these are emotional burdens. Right? Oh, you know some of these, right? How about fear? Ooh, start putting them in, Lance. So, you know, you get scared. Scared, right? You get scared about what's going to happen tomorrow and the day after, and you heard it. Should we worry about tomorrow? No, we shouldn't, but we do worry. We can't help but worry. Oh, it's getting heavier, that fear. You know what it's turning into? That fear is starting to turn into anxiety. Now I'm worried, am I going to be able to do this by myself? Am I going to be able to, what was that one, Lance? Anxiety. Am I going to be able to do this by myself? What am I going to, I won't be able to do this. Oh, it's actually getting really heavy because anxiety is now turning into depression. And now I'm like, oh, wow, I can't get out of bed in the morning. I don't know what to do today. I'm not going to have anybody help me. I feel, because now it's turning into something else. Wait a minute. I feel you just put it in there. Oh, I felt like loneliness. Now, even though I have a family, I feel lonely. Or maybe I don't have a family and no one around me, and I feel so lonely. And the worry and the loneliness of it is turning into something else. Oh, do we have any more? Okay, take some, put them in there. Because, you know, we as Americans, we love burdens. What about sadness? I mean, this is heavy. And bitterness. Church, we carry these around with us all the time. Burdens in your life. You come from all different areas. They don't necessarily come from church. Maybe they do. They come from the grind of your life. They come from all of your routine of your life. They come from all the things that you do in your life that you don't realize are creating burdens, rocks in your life, cracks in your foundation, earthquakes, relationships that crumble, and you pick them up and become angry and bitter and carry them around. Or are you going to lay them down? All right, Lance, help me. Just take it off. Grab the box. Grab it. Okay. So we talked about emotional ones, but what about spiritual ones? What about spiritual burdens? Because I know a lot of you are spiritual today. Maybe you're carrying the one around that says, oh, you know, I'm not in ministry, and I want to be in ministry. I should be a leader, not a leader. Or I don't have a ministry. I never knew what my ministry was. I don't even, I'm not a preacher. I have no ministry. Burdens, we carry them around. Maybe it's prayer. I don't know how to pray. Don't know the words to use, so I don't. I don't find time to pray. And you carry these around with you in your pockets. You carry them around. When you feel that inclination to pray, you're like, I'll just cuddle with my rock because I don't know what to say. Maybe I won't get it right. What about Bible? Don't understand that thing. It's written in another language. Don't need to read it. Doesn't make sense to me. Or what's another one? What's another one? I hear a lot. You know, the Bible, it's just so out of touch. You know, doesn't apply to me. I don't know what it's talking about carrying burdens around. I don't carry any burdens. I can literally see it on your shoulders, right? But there's other spiritual burdens I see people carrying. What about? I got some special ones here at the front. Since we're talking spiritual things, let's talk about the ones Jesus talked about. Maybe some of the burdens you're carrying around is unchecked sin. Maybe this one hangs out on your phone. No one knows about it. Hangs out on your computer. You don't talk about it. But the images, the websites, the videos, the pornography, the lusts, well, it's something I can manage, so I'll keep that burden. Or maybe it's the envy. Somebody has what I don't have. If I had what they had, I would give more. I would do more with it. They're not godly enough to have all that. Maybe. What about this one? Hatred. I hate people. Everyone's wrong but me. And I despise Christians. I despise Muslims. I despise Iraq. I despise Iran. I despise Korea. You know, regardless of what you think of these countries, there are human beings in there. And yes, I agree, there's radical terrorism all around the world, and I despise it. And what happened in Fort Lauderdale, you know, terror or otherwise, resulted in a loss of life. My wife and I were there, physically. We should not be here today. We had to get 4 hours of driving and 2 flights to get here today. Now, of course, we're alive. We're okay. I met people who weren't. I talked to one lady who was standing there. Who was standing there when it happened. I've been reading the things. I've been reading the news and what took place. In a moment, your life could be over. These are people. Church. Where is our compassion? Where is our love? Maybe addiction to chemicals, to liquids, to experiences, to images. I don't know. I mean, you pick your sin du jour, if you will, that you may be carrying around. The Bible asks us to lay it down. How do I know that? How do I know that we're supposed to lay it down? How do I know that? Well, I know that, one, from my physical experiences with people, because if you carry one of these around long enough and you don't lay it down, you know what you end up doing with it? Long enough. You carry it all the time. When times get really tough and you got one of these bad boys with you, you start throwing it around. Oh, I'm angry. Smash. Oh, I'm envious. Smash. Oh, I don't like you. Smash. Oh, I don't know how to deal with life. I'll take more of you. Smash. You start throwing it around. And so what I'm asking you to do is to lay it down. Why? Well, let's look at what the Bible says. It says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you, church. Do you see that? Here's another one. It says, this is how we know what love is, because Jesus Christ first laid his life down for you. He was the ultimate sacrifice. He laid it all down so that we may lay our burdens on him and he may take them from us, church. We need to surrender to him today. And this requires us to physically do something. It's not enough just to think it or to hear it. We need to do something. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So here's the moment I want you to think. You have your index card. I want you to take out your index card and hold it in your hands. And I want you to think, as I went through all those burdens, all those rocks, cracks in your foundation, breaks in your life, rubble from your experiences, things that are holding you back from what God wants you to achieve, things that are preventing you from walking into God's presence, holy and acceptable, pleasing unto God, whatever it is, I want you to write it down on that card. Now, as some of you are thinking, no way, I'm not writing anything down on this card. I want you to think of a couple things. Number one, you can write it teeny weeny, teeny tiny, really small. And two, you can fold your index card. Three, I'm not going to ask you for your index card. I'm not going to read your index card. I'm not going to ask for your spouse to read your index card. You don't need to sign it, date it, nothing. You can write it with your left hand, so I don't know who's written it. I don't care what you do. If you're so, if what you're dealing with is so sensitive that you're scared to write it on paper, then just write the first letter of it or second letter. I don't care, but do something right now. And I'm going to ask you to do something with that index card in a minute. But it will not involve me reading it. It will not involve me looking at your card. Yours will be anonymous. But you are going to present it as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Your bodies, which have your spirit, are meant to be presented as a living sacrifice. I'm going to show you how to do that in a moment. But you need to write that down. And as you're writing it down, I want you to think of, what could you do if this thing wasn't in your life? What does God want to do with you if this wasn't, if you weren't burdened down so much? You need to lay it down spiritually and physically. In other words, if it's sin, maybe you need to cut something out of your life, right? If it's one of these emotional burdens, maybe you need to add something to your life, more time with the Lord. If it's one of those emotional burdens, maybe you need to find a way to depend on Him a little more than you have in the past. I don't know. If it's financial, maybe you need to have some counseling involved. In any one of those, you can have counseling involved. And we're here to help counsel you, to help you figure out physically what you can do to be a good steward with what's in your life. But spiritually, you need to lay it down today. Because if you don't lay it down, you're going to carry it around. The Bible says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. In other words, what I'm talking about sounds weird. You may say, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing any of this. This is out of my boundary of comfort zone. What I'm comfortable with, because my culture says I'm comfortable with this. The Bible says, put that and smash that. Church is not supposed to be a place where you conform. It's not a place where you need to be like the world. It's a place where you come in here and you do something different. You present yourself a living sacrifice. And then it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think differently. And so as these burdens start coming into your mind, I ask you to hold them captive for a second and say, I will no longer be prisoned by this burden that is holding me down and holding me back, and I will present it with my index card to you, Lord God, as a living sacrifice. Are you with me, church? The Bible says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. It then follows and says, what would it profit a man or woman to gain the whole world and lose his only soul? You see, as we carry these burdens with us, we're in the process of trying to save our own life. We're in the process of trying to make our own life better. We're in the process of saying, I can figure this out without you, Lord. I got this. I'm on my own. I want to keep my fear. I want to keep my depression. I want to keep my et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What is in your way today? Because this says to me, this verse in Luke chapter 9, what this says to me, oh, this is so good. Church, this is so good. Do you have a couple minutes? This is so good. You got to listen here. Because he says, right before this, he says something that drives me crazy when Christians repeat it to me. So any Christian who repeats this to me again, I'm going to remind them of this service right here, this altar service right here. You know, the verse before this, right before this, Jesus says this. And he says it in all the Gospels. He says, pick up your cross. Carry it. And most Christians, when they hear that, they go, I need to have my burden with me. I'm carrying it as a cross. It's my burden. It's my suffering. It's my sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice, that's what he meant by the cross. So I'm going to carry mine with me. It's my thorn in my side. That is not what it meant. Back then, the cross wasn't a sign of salvation. Back then, the cross wasn't a sign of sacrifice. Back then, the cross wasn't a sign of anything positive at all. Back then, the cross was a sign of one thing and one thing only: pure and utter death. When you picked up a cross, you knew you were going to your death. That was it. You were done. There was no way out. There was no pardon. You had a cross. You were dying. When he's saying, pick up your cross, he is saying, it is time for you to die. Die how, you say? Physically? No, spiritually. You need to die to the self that is inside of you with all of these burdens. You need to take all of them off and kill them and ask them to rest in peace. Church, are you with me? That's what this verse means. You need to lose your life and all of those burdens that you're bringing with you, and you need to lay them down at the altar and sacrifice it and say, all to him I surrender. Now, in a minute here, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to come down. I'm going to ask you to put your index card on this altar. Every one of you that can. If you don't, there's no obligation. I have an index card. I know what's holding me back. I know what I'm burdened with. I wrote it down right in the middle. And I wrote a little note there next to it so I could remind myself why I put it down. I'm going to ask you to come down. And I'm going to ask you to put it right there, right in the middle. You can put it anywhere. I don't care where you put it. You can put it anywhere on there. But I want you to think about this before we do. Hopefully you've written on your index card. Hopefully you prayerfully written on your index card and you are honest with the Lord today, because he is a light shining in your dark places. You already know what needs to be written there, even if you don't write it. The question is, will you write it? The question is, will you be honest with yourself? The question is, will you lose it for him? Because he's willing to take it from you. And when he did for Jacob, and when he did for Moses, and when he did for Abraham, he revealed himself as our provider. He revealed himself as our healer. He wants to reveal himself to you. So those words aren't Greek. Those words aren't Hebrew. Those words are personal to you. And you'll only experience that if you write it down. This service here wasn't supposed to happen. There are people sick in the hospital. There were planes and flights that were canceled. There were travel agents that wouldn't work with me. There was our heating and air condition that stopped yet again. I could go on and on and on. Last night I couldn't sleep. Night before I couldn't sleep. Satan does not want you to have victory. And I am certain that this altar service right here, this time where you're to come down and stand at the altar, place it in here, and then I'm going to ask you to spend some time at the altar for a moment. Kneel at the altar or stand at the altar and just surrender to him. I'm going to ask you to do it in a second. And I'm telling you with this length of time so that you can consider what you will do. Will you come down? Will you place it? Will you stand here and surrender? Will you ask God to take it from you? Your heavenly Father, the one who cares more about you than life itself, who knows every hair on your head, who knows every desire of your heart, will you allow him to take that from you? Because he's got such big plans for you. But you know something's in the way. You know what that something is? It's you. You're in the way. It's not your job. It's not your finances. It's not your addiction. It's not your sin. It is you. And you need to give up those things because God is willing to take them. He already did it on Calvary. He wants to do it again this morning for each and every one of you. As you prepare for that, I want to show you this. This altar service. Altars hall always required a price to be paid. A blood offering, a price. The price that will be paid today is your actions. You getting up and giving yourself. You see, because this place of altar is a place for you to be altered. He wants to alter you. And you have to be willing to be altered. Are you willing to pay that price? He may take something out of your life this very moment. He may do it in a way that you have not thought he was going to do it. He may do in a time you have not thought he was going to do it. You may come down here and surrender all to him. You may walk out them doors and get a phone call. You may walk out them doors, get home and open a piece of mail. You may walk out those doors and read an email. You may walk out those doors and meet someone and your life dramatically changed. It may be a way that you weren't expecting. And maybe at first one that doesn't even look good. Because the moment you come down here is the moment he is going to alter your life. And if I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be standing here speaking to you right now. You know what else this looks like? It looks like a tomb. Because when you put these things in here, you're asking God to kill it. You're asking him to put it to bed, to rest in peace. So I ask you to stand with me. I'm going to pray quickly, and I'm going to ask you quickly to proceed through the middle, drop them in there, around there. When we're done, we're going to bury them with rocks so no one can read them or see them. And then we are going to stack them up as an altar for 2017 and remember what God has done in our lives. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you would speak your good word into each and every heart. Allow your Holy Spirit to come this very moment. He is welcome in this place. Do you feel him, church? Holy Spirit, you are here. I know it. Holy Spirit, begin to whisper. Begin to whisper. Begin to prompt. Let him know you can do this. I will help you. You'll be okay. It'll be okay without it. Let me create a new life in you. Let me create a new wineskin in you so that I may put new wine. Whisper, Holy Spirit. Whisper. I'm about to alter you. I'm about to change you. Whisper, Holy Spirit. In our hearts and minds, as we worship you, as we honor you, as we obey you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Have your way, have your will in this place. Do it, Lord, do it. We take these rocks and we refuse to sleep on them any longer. We take these rocks and we build the pillar, Lord God, for you and in your name, by your power and by your strength, we do it. We fill it up, Lord God, with those things that lay heavy on our hearts and our lives and our burdens. We do it, Father God, that you may be honored, that you may be increased in our lives, that we may be decreased, and Lord, that you may be increased, Heavenly Father. Lord, look at your people and what we do. Lord, I'm certain, Lord, that some have merely one thing on there, but it may be the biggest thing in their life. Others, Lord, may have many things written on there, and they require a massive seismic shift, Lord God, in their spiritual walk. Praise you, Jesus. Bring it, Lord, to them. We're putting them to rest, church. I don't care what they are, church. I don't. I don't care if you think they're terrible or minor, because the reality is it's preventing you. It's a burden in your life that's preventing you from what God has for you. You made it here to church today. There's about 40 of you that did not. You were not here by accident. He needs to do something in your life today.